This is Derek Bros.
Derek Bros.
Derek Bros.
This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance.
I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink.
Fucking hell!
Above all, stay alive. You have no idea.
All right, so as I was saying, we are here to bring an interview to you guys with a friend of mine, Danny Quest, and he is a contributor to the Conscious Resistance Network. He's been contributing for a number of years. He's also an independent journalist like myself and gets out there and covers important news. And he was one of the people who was in D.C. documenting. You may have seen me share his feed the other day, documenting what was going on. And if you've been paying attention the last couple of days, I've done a couple of videos debunking some garbage claims that have been going out there, all kinds of, you know, just false information being put out about COVID. And I wanted to bring Danny on basically to share his perspective, to show you a little bit, because I can only speak from what I'm seeing, and that's all you guys can do. I know some of you say, well, I have a friend who was there and they claim this, and I saw this video on TikTok and this video on Twitter said this, then that thing. But guys, that's not evidence. What is evidence is firsthand perspectives by a journalist, by an objective person who is there filming for several hours. So let's go ahead and bring on my buddy, Danny. What's happening, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing today? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, doing pretty good, brother. You're a little blurry, but we can see you and hear you. I'm going to go ahead and just get up on screen some of the streams you did, but go ahead and I'll just let you take it away, brother. Like, you know, I gave you a brief introduction, but tell everybody about how you ended up in DC filming and what you witnessed.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, I guess from the beginning, my name is Danny F. Quest. I'm an activist and journalist. I've worked with various alternative media companies over the years, from We Are Change to the Free Thought Project, Mint Press News, and of course here at the Conscious Resistance. I've been trying to document as best I could from a live stream perspective every major protest or riot or incidents that's happened in the United States over the last few years. Lucky enough for me, I live in Maryland, which is about 40 minutes south of Washington, D.C., of the actual Capitol building and the White House and all that stuff. So when I heard about this happening, I knew that it was my responsibility to go there and try to document it for the people and get a from the ground, honest, nonpartisan perspective, because so much of the commercial media is just a propaganda firm for their chosen political party or to their contributors, right? So I'm a member of a group of people like Derek who put ourselves on the front lines in order to bring people, you guys, the on the ground factual information of what's happened without bias, without any kind of third party interaction or commercialization or corporatization. I don't have any funding schemes or PayPal or anything like that to sell people. I'm just out there on the ground because I feel that there's an honest need for independent journalism. And I mean, by the size of my live stream, I think it got up to like 1700 people. It's well over 50,000 views now, over 1500 shares. There's definitely a need for it. There's a desire for people to see what's going on, and I'm glad that I had the opportunity to do it. It was a pretty amazing day. And
how long were you out there, brother?
I guess I got into DC about 1 at 12:30. I got off the train because I drove to the train station and I trained in because the traffic was pretty ridiculous. From about 1 to 4, not a whole lot was going on per se. I mean, there was a lot of people collecting in the streets, and the mood was really festive, though. It was really cordial, you know. There was no kind of antagonism or riots or fights or arguing or even any counter protesters. Nothing like that was happening for the first few hours. Then I heard everybody was going to the Capitol building, and when I started getting close to the Capitol building, which is what you're kind of seeing there, I was blown away by the amount of people that were out there. And that's when I started looking for the best position that I could get to document it. And I climbed up. You can see when I climbed down in the live stream, but I literally climbed up the bottom of these bleachers that they had built, like scaffolding bleachers. So me and a bunch of guys climbed up underneath these bleachers and got up here, and it was just a great perspective of everything, I think, that I had found. And I was pretty far away from where any of the main points of contention were. The main points of contention I was watching, if you see soon, is a doorway, which is the doorway that they originally broke into, was right where you can see now, that middle doorway. And they were fighting back and forth at that doorway for a good 3 hours, still trying to get in. And I said in the live stream at about 4 o'clock, right after Mayor Bowser issued the 6 o'clock curfew rule, and you could hear the grumbling around, like, oh, we're not going to abide by this. They're going to have to get rid of us. And I said at the time, because of my experience, I've been out here doing this for almost a decade now, probably 7 years. I've been participating in these kinds of events. I knew that they were going to come with force and tear gas and flash grenades. I thought at 6, but it was about 5:25, 5:30 when you really started seeing the police force start to mount. They started, originally they were spraying tear gas outside of the door. You can see a huge stream of this like red tear gas come flying out of that door right there at about 5:30. And then from that point, the flash grenades started coming out. The less prepared, the people who didn't want to be as involved, who weren't as militant, they started to very quickly dissipate. So by 5:45, it was really just the hardcore people left. And that's when shit really started to get crazy, pardon my French. And again, that's in the other live stream. It's about an hour and a half, 2 hours long. If you start at about 58 minutes, Derek, of the live stream, you'll see where everything started to really go crazy. And the last incident that it reminded me of was the Seattle protests during George Floyd. I don't know if any of your viewers are familiar, but during the Seattle protests, it was very similar. And they had to clear the park or the grounds where they were occupying. It was the same thing. They just started launching tear gas. I got tear gas. It sucks pretty bad, actually. If you've never been tear gas, it's not something. But yeah, this, as you're seeing right now, guys, the footage, I was watching it live from, like, I'm zoomed in on a cell phone. I didn't have any of my equipment. I had no helmet. I didn't have my gimbal. I just had a cell phone trying to document. And this is like literally tear gas on hundreds of people. I was afraid somebody was going to fall off that balcony. And from what I heard, somebody did fall and get really hurt or even potentially die. But that's, yeah, what we're watching
Let me chime in here, brother. Bro.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I appreciate what you're sharing. We're showing, for those who are going to be listening to this, not watching, you were showing the tear gassing on screen now. And I will include links to Danny's Facebook pages and videos and anywhere else you have them loaded up, brother. But so I just want to clarify a little bit about that, because part of the reason I wanted to speak to you is obviously to get your firsthand perspective, but also to debunk some of the stuff that I'm sure you've already seen going around. Sure. And so one of the claims that I've seen is that I keep hearing Trump supporters saying, there's no way we would do this, quote, like the we being Trump supporters, you know, they kind of see themselves as one collective group. So they're saying, oh, that's not how Trump supporters act. We wouldn't do that. We wouldn't do it. So then obviously it has to be Antifa or provocateurs or something. And clearly we understand provocateurs are real, whether that's government agents, CIA, what have you, or cops. But let's talk about what you witnessed. I mean, did you see that, like you said, most of it was peaceful, but the tear gas started to get fired. You know, some could argue that was because of provocateurs. You know, this a handful of people can cause a whole riot. But I also have seen video, and I want to get your take on this as somebody who was there, seen video of Trump supporters pushing back and fighting with the cops. And I'm not faulting them for that. I just want to say, you know, like that was what I witnessed via video. And what did you see? Did you see Trump supporters getting aggressive with cops at different points? I saw them calling them traitors because they felt betrayed. You know, these are people who support cops. But talk a little bit about that.
It's interesting dynamic. The FBI, if you read their paperwork, one of the major, God, what do they call them? Like counterinsurgent, one of the government's biggest threats is conservative, militant, right wing veterans, people who are trained and have grown up in environments where they can fight back, right? Libertarian-minded people. And for whatever reason, the mainstream conservative base doesn't want to accept that they have radicals in their party or political bent, whatever you, their ideology, whatever words you're most comfortable using. But without a doubt, I mean, if you just study simple statistics, whether you believe the FBI or not, the leading purveyor of acts of terrorism in America are right-wing conservatives. This is nothing new for the Southern Conservative Party. And there was a lot of, and I said that too. I said that very early on in one of my first live streams, because I did a couple of them. What I said was, we're not likely to see clashes between left and right, you know, i.e. Proud Boys and Antifa, like Charleston. What we're most likely to see today is clashes between the authorities and Donald Trump supporters. I said that. And I don't understand why so many people are like taken back by that concept, so much so that they have to create all these kinds of crazy conspiracy theories that I'm seeing. Like, there is an
answer. Let me pause you there, because you know we're going to get pushback for that, right? You know that we're already getting it, right? There's people
to any debates that,
yeah, so let's have. Let's dissect that for a moment, though, because you and I have been around long enough to see the FBI and other false agencies like the Southern Poverty Law Center put out fake reports about the Patriot Movement, including libertarian activists and anarchists that we know, that we are personally friends, who have been listed as, like, you know, some sort of extremist. And that is false BS. But what you're saying is also true, that there really are, you know, evidence and examples of people who lean more right becoming quote unquote domestic terrorists. And that's not even a term I like, I want to say, man, because as I'm sure you've noticed, that term is being thrown around way too casually.
Weaponized.
You know, left-wing activists are calling the right domestic terrorists. The right wing is calling the left-wing domestic terrorists. And you know who's loving that? The predator class and the FBI, mm-hmm. because they want to call us all domestic terrorists. So I did a video about that a while back, about how, you know, that's just dangerous to kind of label each other that way. But you're right. There are factual evidence of that. And at the same time, there is factual evidence of people on the left. Like, I mean, and I, again, these are causes that I might support. Like, you remember the FBI raids, the green, what was it called? The Green Scare, when they were arresting various kind of Earth Liberation Front, Animal Liberation Front, people who go and sit in trees, mm-hmm. who light labs on fire and stuff like that. They were arresting them after 9/11, calling them domestic terrorists. And maybe they are for some people. And then there's comments like this, someone that says, I support anyone that fights against an oppressive state, BLM or MAGA. Now, that's a good approach to have, because this person kind of sees there are people who can take on both, you know. So I didn't want to get too off track there, but I think that is important to kind of just, you know, talk to the nuance of this term domestic terrorism, because what you're saying is correct, but obviously there are people who immediately are going to see that and have a knee-jerk reaction, say right wingers are never violent, we never do that. But the truth is that there are extremists on all sides, and the government, specifically the FBI, seeks to find those people who might already be on edge and then push them, you know, kind of further. And so we have to acknowledge that. But sure. Yeah, go ahead and continue.
One of the common grounds, which you just made me think about in that dialogue, what was really interesting to me, and I documented this. If you're watching this video, this is where I climbed down from the bleacher. So I actually had to climb up all this scaffolding to get where I was at. It was pretty gangster, dude. But what I was going to say is, when the first smoke grenades or tear gas grenades started going off, the entire Trump base was chanting, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. It was literally the chant from a BLM protest or from the original, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but that catchphrase was being used.
Eric Garner.
Trump. Eric Garner, thank you. Yeah, that catchphrase was being used at the Trump rally. And there is this kind of intersectionality between anti-authoritarians on both sides. And that's what this boils down to. And I'm a non-violent activist, right? I believe that the way to defeat this state isn't by fighting against the giant beast, it's by starving it to death. We simply need to withdraw our support from it, right? But I mean, these cops, these Capitol cops out here were maliciously abusing men, women, and children, veterans, old people were getting knocked down and gassed and hit with batons. And that's the stuff that the news doesn't show you. The news shows you a couple dozen people kicking in a door of the Capitol and running in and playing with things. They're not showing you the five cops that are literally stomping the shit out of a 75-year-old man who's a Vietnam War veteran with a freaking POW hat on and an American flag in his hand. Like, this battle is way realer than people are willing to comprehend right now. I cried at one point in time when I was walking back, and there was just, you could sense the defeat in the air from the more, not even aggressive, but more defiant members of the older generation of Trump supporters who were there on the front grounds. They're not fighting as anarchists. They're fighting as patriots who want to, in their mind, bring the country back to some mythical level of freedom that it once had. Their version of America.
To make America great again, right?
Yes, if you want to use that catchphrase. But
well, I want to add to what you're saying there, man, because it's important for people to understand that yes, there are people out there like, okay, I get it. They're not anarchists like I am as an individual. Outside of being a journalist, I am an anarchist. So I don't support political parties, and I don't support people storming the Capitol for more government or for their particular political puppet or cult. In right. one hand, on one level of my mind, it's like, yeah, that looks kind of cool to see. But then also knowing that these people don't really understand what's going on. They think Trump's a hero. And I saw one of the commenters say earlier, and I think this is likely, that, you know, Trump was out there speaking before this happened. He was kind of egging them on, saying, like, we can't let them steal this. We can't let this. They're in there right now. Let's hope that they do. You know, just what do people expect to happen? And then you have examples of showing sometimes where the cops were letting gates open. And then you're reporting here that there were also times where people were really brutally beat down. So you have kind of a mix. Maybe in some places the cops let them through, and then you have some cases where they were literally having to battle the cops. And so the other thing is that I saw on the Free Thought Project, and I've seen some other reporting this morning, that they're starting to identify some of the people, and some of them have been identified as cops, and some of them have been identified as representatives that were involved in this. So again, the people who want to try to dismiss and say, no, this wasn't us, this was all Antifa, you have to understand that there's a lot of cops that do support Trump. There are politicians that support him, and maybe they didn't want the violence, but they definitely were participating or perhaps allowed it to happen. So it does seem to be like, rather than just trying to say there was no real Trump supporters that were actually involved in this, it was all Antifa, you know, that guy's Antifa. So much has been debunked just in the last couple of days. I think, you know, the perspective you're sharing here is a little bit more realistic, that the truth is in the middle. It's not just that it was all violent Trump supporters like the left-wing media wants to say, and they're domestic terrorists and this and that. And that's not that it was all Antifa or anything. I haven't really seen any hard evidence that it's Antifa other than blurry videos of, oh, this bus came here and we think it has Antifa in it, or this guy claims he got paid. You know, I haven't seen, but have you seen in your experience, did you see anybody that you could clearly identify as Antifa or left-wing activist or BLM or provocateur?
There was in my entire experience throughout the day, I didn't see a single counter protester. I didn't see anyone dressed in. The people dressed in all black had red caps on and like boots and like knee pads. I have a picture of them on my wall. Anybody who wants to go to my wall, it's Facebook.com/DannyFQuest. Young guys. And I asked them, I said, what are you guys dressed up for? And they said action. They said they were dressed for action. So take that as you will. But to me, they didn't rub me off as leftist activists. They seemed like young, you know, just more gung-ho people who were involved. I'd also like to talk about Jake Angeli, if that's how you pronounce his last name, because there's so much being floated around about that guy and all the memes that have come out. And he's really the one, and I caught it on one of my live streams as well, leading the march to the Capitol. Like, the march to the Capitol was happening. The first stop was at the Department of Justice. I captured that as well. There was about 250 people chanting traitors and throwing things at the Department of Justice. And that's really where it started at, because Jake and his group of friends come walking by. Hey, we're going to the Capitol, like literally leading a march to the Capitol. And I didn't follow them right at that time. Like, all the people who broke into the Capitol, that entered in, took all the pictures where all the memes come from, That happened about 40 minutes before I got to the Capitol. Actually, hearing about that, hearing about shots being fired is what led me to go to the Capitol. Okay, there's action there. I want to go. But we can do that too, Cortez. We'll get there, buddy. Just give me, let me explain this real quick. Because what I think happened, and I want there, I'm just explaining this from what I seen on the ground, but I didn't actually visualize it. Like I didn't capture this, is when they showed up to the Capitol at, you know, 200, 300 people deep, and the first couple waves started getting there, I don't think the cops were as intimidated because they didn't know exactly what they were planning. They were civil. They were walking around saying hi, taking pictures, walking in the door. We just want to see this place. You know what I'm saying? But it's one of those things like 5 people go by and then 10 people go by and then 20 people go. And then the cops are starting to say, oh, shit, what's happening? So it wasn't that they actually opened the door for them per se. The doors were open. It was in session. It was, you know, people can walk in and out of the Capitol building. It's not like that secure of a building. And once the flood started coming, that's when they realized it was a problem. They didn't realize it was a problem until there was after 30 or 40 people had already gotten past the front door and into the building. And then by that point, they were just overwhelmed. And I don't know exactly what happened in the Capitol building after that, but to my perspective, that's what happened more so than some shadow conspiracy where the Capitol Police door holders were paid to let Antifa antagonists in to make Trump supporters look bad. It was just Jake Angeli looking for attention because that's what he was doing. He was running around looking for attention.
He's known for it.
Right. He's an attention seeker. What's a better way to get attention than to fucking march yourself in your cowboy hat into fucking Nancy Pelosi's office, right? Like,
so let's talk about that for just a moment. So again, we're talking with independent journalist Danny Quest. You're listening to the Conscious Resistance Network. I want to shout out everybody who's watching us on float.app/consciousresistance. Some reason DLive's not working right now, but you can also watch if you decide you want to leave Facebook. You can go to theconsciousresistance.com/live and watch us there. So we're covering some of the discrepancies, what Danny saw firsthand. We're showing his video on screen right now, and then also getting into some of the claims that have been floating all over the place. We were talking about Jake Angeli, or Angeli, however you say it, who we do know now for a fact does have an acting profile, but that doesn't mean he's a crisis actor. That doesn't prove necessarily anything. Yes, he's an actor. It's a little interesting thing to pay to. But he is one of the prime examples, Danny, of people saying, look, this guy was at a Black Lives Matter protest. He must be, he must be fake or whatever. And then you zoom out the picture and he's on the opposite side of the BLM holding a QAnon sign, right? He's wearing horns. Oh, that must be Baphomet. Oh, he's got this symbol on his chest. That's supposed to be a pedo symbol. No, it's actually a Norse god symbol because I guess he likes dressing like a Viking, you know, and just so many different things. There's another one I saw. Oh, the guy has a tattoo on his hand of the communist symbol. But then you look in closer and I saw somebody put it together. It's actually a symbol from some video game. It's not the communist symbol. It's a circle with like a little thing. But people are so desperate. Even here in these comments, man. Let me just show you some of these comments here. Just to find like, okay, so somebody says, and I think that there's fairness to this. Of course, if there was infiltrators, they wouldn't dress, you know, in their Antifa gear, right? So that makes sense, right? Maybe they would go undercover. But that's a thought that we can entertain, but it doesn't mean that there's evidence for it. You know, that doesn't really prove anything. And let me just go into some of the other ones here. This was saying, they're there, even if you didn't see them, of course. Like, no, don't believe anybody who's eyewitness. If you believe it, then it must be true, right? Then Nicole says, when I refer to Antifa, I'm referring to paid protagonists. Antagonists, I think she means. But that doesn't – Antifa is a very specific thing. This is another thing that I know you know, Danny, is that many of the people on the right, they're not educated about history, about anarchism, or about these movements. They think Antifa – like literally the Washington Times reported the other day, Antifa was founded in Portland, Oregon a year ago. Like it's a historical concept that's been around since World War II, fighting against fascists. It actually has a purpose, has a meaning. Now, that doesn't mean the modern incarnation is not totally off base on a lot of different things, but it's a concept. So there might be chapters or people who use that name, but it's really an amorphous concept, kind of like freedom cells in a way, or the Black Bloc. That doesn't mean that people don't use it, like the government, like we saw way back in the 90s and the early 2000s, the government, the cops dressing up like anarchists and committing violence. I think it's much more likely that if there were agents, it was government agents as opposed to just the left wing. But these folks want to blame everything on the left wing. And This person, doesn't it seem weird that Antifa wasn't seen there? I don't know why that has to necessarily be weird. And then this person, Nicole, Antifa, BLM, and Q all get their checks by the same organization. Now, I don't know what they mean exactly, but there's just so many claims going around. And I'm just taking a moment.
In the mail. Send me my check, George.
Yeah, I hope we get our check soon. But I mean, I think it's interesting because even this, like Jeanette, again, trying to like make it make sense. I'm trying to figure him out.
This guy got shot. Look, go to the video real quick. Go back where you're at.
Yeah.
This guy, just 2 seconds. Yeah, this is a Trump supporter who was on the front grounds going into the, he tells this story right here, going into the Capitol building. He got shot with a beanbag right in the stomach, had a big welt. And I mean, this guy right here, does he look like a fucking Antifa guy to you? Like, he's on the front lines trying to break into, like, he's who you're saying is being paid. This guy. You think this guy is being paid to protagonist? No, he's just taking part of whatever that group think mentality is. It's led on by people like Jake Angeli. And then people like this just follow to be a part of it. And
exactly. So, I mean, people don't have to be agents to have just gone on board with it. I'm going to take your video down for just a second and show these two articles I was referencing for those who want to see what I'm talking about. We got this new post from the Free Thought Project, and then we have the other one. Well, let's start with the worst one, I think, of them all, which really contributed to this false impression that unfortunately people just share. They don't do their own research. I don't know if you saw this one from the Washington Times. So, corrected, facial recognition identifies extremists storming the Capitol. Now, this article a couple days ago originally claimed that some anonymous retired military officer claimed that this facial recognition firm had video that they had secretly seen that showed that Antifa had infiltrated the Capitol. And within 24 hours, the company comes out and starts threatening to sue, saying that's total bullshit. It didn't happen. And now let's look at this. Let's reread the article and now see what it claims. Correction. An earlier version of the story incorrectly stated that XR Vision facial recognition software identified Antifa members storming the Capitol. This is still being repeated out, by the way. There's a video somebody sent me this morning that has 500,000 views. And in the first 45 seconds, it makes this claim. And now what does the update say? Facial recognition software has identified neo-Nazis and other extremists as participants. So rather than them identifying Antifa, it was literally neo-Nazis that this firm had identified, literally the exact opposite of what the right wing is trying to claim. But how many people have shared this already, the original version of it? How many people will not go and correct it, will not delete it, will not maybe go talk to friends and family and say, hey, I'm sorry, I shared some false information. I really hate to do that. But before we go to the other article, your thoughts on that one?
I don't know, man. I'm really just so lost in how far removed mainstream media has gotten from actual truth. It's absurd at this point, how all the major players, whether it's New York Times or Washington Post or CNN or Fox or every major player in the news entertainment medium, whatever you want to call it, like the cable news, mainstream media industry, just make shit up. Most of it is just, if it's not completely make-believe, it's propaganda lying with statistics. It's manipulating in the truth in a way that fills people's like mind or beliefs or confirms. Like it's all about confirming people's biases, right? Like people want to believe that Antifa was there. Millions of people want to believe that because it's hard for them to accept the reality that yes, conservatives can be fucking aggressive and can do some of these kinds of things and actually mirror, you know, what their so-called opposite and enemies do. So the media, that I guess they have a profit incentive to just lie and make that kind of stuff up and then spin it. And Facebook, the one that really, and this is going to seem like I'm protecting Trump, but I'm not, is when the article was Trump was talking bad about the military or something, said all the military members were some kind of shit. Can't remember exactly what it was. But if I was to write that, Facebook would have fact checked me and said, no, this isn't real. This is hearsay information. But when the Washington Times writes it and publishes it on the front page, Facebook doesn't fact check it at all, even though it's has no facts. There's no evidence. It's just hearsay of what somebody said. And when that happens, and this is a good example of that, like Facebook isn't actively stopping any of these rumors from flying around. That's when you have to think that the establishment is profiting or is using the narrative for something. I couldn't read all that. Sorry.
No, you're good. No, I want to add to that, man. Well, first off, like, yes, this shouldn't be a huge surprise to many of us. I see some people saying like, well, duh, of course, this is what media does. But there are a lot of people who I think are really just waking up to this. And I've been really kind of hard and harsh on people recently who just don't get it. But I do think hopefully through this process, especially now after all this insanity, Trump is conceding. And I know the Trump supporters are going to say, no, he's still not conceding. There's still some plan going on. But he conceded last night. He said there will be a new president on the 20th. He said he tweeted this morning, he's not attending the inauguration. So, you know, it's interesting to see how it's all playing out. But the point I think here is that they use these situations to divide people. So as mm-hmm. I've been telling people for the last couple of days there, you have to realize that purposeful disinformation gets put out there, that people, government agencies, I mean, we know from the Snowden files and plenty of other document releases that they put out fake information. I mean, we have documents from the British GCHQ, and I know the NSA and others do it as well, where they specifically talk about creating fake Facebook groups, fake profiles, fake YouTube channels, fake Twitter accounts, and blasting out information. They talk about trying to help create messaging that it promotes conformity, division, like people being obedient, all these sorts of things. These are the things that they want to promote and cultivate. And so they're doing an amazing job, honestly. They've got left and right turned against each other. I've got left-leaning friends in Houston saying, after this happened, now it's time to burn every Trump shirt we see, even if someone's wearing it. You know, like the left is just like up in arms because they think that, well, the right wingers just so crazy, they won't listen to reason. And they're here they are now raiding the Capitol. And I can kind of understand why somebody might take that position. And then the other side really feels, like you said earlier, that they're patriots and they're fighting to save the day. And if they don't do this, it's going to be full on communism and, you know, radical left pedophile Democrats. They still are looking in the left-right paradigm. And even the ones who aren't, they still are looking at the cult of, you know, statism. They think Trump's going to be the hero that saves the day. So there's just so much crap going on. And I guess the reason I wanted to do this is obviously to get your firsthand perspective, but to try to provide some balance. I've been trying to do that the last couple of days with my last couple of videos. And I think people are getting it, that immediately, every time this happens, whether 9/11, Las Vegas shooting, whatever, the first day, everybody thinks they got it all figured out. They got all the theories together. Here's a million things flooding. And you got to consider that there is fake information, false information, purposeful disinformation being put out there so that those of you who don't take 2 or 3 seconds to research and you just read a headline and share it, or you don't verify things, you just spread it further, and it keeps dividing people. It keeps creating trouble. And also, as Danny was talking about a moment ago, it will eventually give them the justification, as it already is, where people are already talking about Facebook needs to do more censoring because this happened, because these crazy right wingers were allowed to be on the internet talking about these fake ideas, and now they're out there storming the Capitol. So I don't know. It's just closing thoughts from you on this, like how obvious it is that they are trying to divide people, and anything else you want to share about what you witnessed in DC.
Sure. Am I back on? Well, I mean, first and foremost, Derek, there's a silver lining to everything. Everything is a duality, whether it's left or right or good or bad. The silver lining is this is waking a lot of people up. You know, you think of stuff like QAnon and this entire Stop This Steal fiasco. And if you're woke, if you're aware, if you've been a part of this movement for long enough, every election is stolen. They're not elections, they're selections. That's a quote from a president. The memes write themselves, and I'm at arms trying to figure out how, when the George Floyd protests were going on and people were running into Foot Lockers and Targets and burning shit up, that's for freedom and equality and stopping the police. But when Donald Trump supporters, conservatives, go in the Capitol building and take pictures on desks and move some shit around, they're bringing down democracy, and they're heinous, and our whole fabric of our society is falling apart. It really doesn't make any sense. And the reason why is exactly what you hit on, is divide and rule. And the powers that be, the people who control the minds of the people, the matrix of America, the Western world, use television, media, movies, and propaganda to divide people into sex, sectarians. It's the balkanization of people's minds, because they know if we keep fighting amongst ourselves back and forth about these nonsense articles on the internet, that we'll have no time to work together to create better opportunity and better services and institutions than the government. They want us reliant upon them. And one of the best ways to do that is by keeping us divided and dumbed down. And there's so much propaganda and disinformation that's pumped out by these multi-hundred-billion-dollar corporations on a daily basis, that the best thing you guys can do is completely disassociate yourselves from it. James Corbett was talking about this recently, is that when all we do as alternative media journalists or our woke people is follow and try to counter the mainstream media's stories, then we're essentially just chasing our tail. We're just running around in the circles that they're leading for us. If you want to be a real solutionary, if you want to make an impact on the world and increase your awareness and grow in consciousness for yourself and for others, the very first thing you have to do is turn off all commercial media. Don't read the paper. Don't read People magazine. Don't watch Hollywood movies. Don't completely disassociate yourself from all of that. You get your news and information from people that you trust, people who you follow, who have proven that they're honest. Whitney Webb, Derek Brose, there's dozens of great, great journalists out there. Kaylin Johnstone, James Corbett. Like, get information from quality sources. Stop being spoon-fed your consciousness. And then as soon as you do that, you'll see that a lot of these sectarian opinions of political ideologies and who are we going to blame for our situation, they go away because nobody's interjecting that to you. And when that goes away, when you can get rid of that partisan perspective and that competitiveness or whatever it is, then you can focus on what you have to do for yourself and for your tribe and for your family or even your country. I mean, I'm by no means like, I don't believe in borders. I think all people should be free, right? But I consider myself to be a patriot in the sense that I'm willing to stand up for the ideals that America was founded upon. And those are very precious to me. And one thing I'd like to say in closing, why FBI don't come get me, I think some pushback is warranted at this point in time in America, is that our Constitution firmly, firmly states that the freedom to assemble and regress your opinions against the government in free speech and open manner is firmly, firmly entrenched in the Bill of Rights of this country. It's supposed to be immutable. So I don't know how someone like democratically elected or selected mayor of Washington, D.C. can say, no, you guys aren't allowed on the street after 6 o'clock. That is a violation of the very principles that this country was founded for. And whoever they are, whatever side of the political spectrum that you're on, you should be concerned with that. And you should be willing to stand up and resist it, right? And I'm not saying you have to use violence by any means, but what was it, Martin Luther King quote said that not only is it our duty to resist unjust laws, it's our obligation. And that's how I feel. And that's why I was out there documenting it. And that's why I'm still a civil disobedient activist.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you being there. What's the best place for me to send everybody to find your work? Like Facebook? Or, I mean, I know you've got some other, what are you promoting lately?
Yeah, I mean, just, it sounds pretentious, but Google my name, Danny F. Quest. I mean, I'm on Steam. I'm definitely on Float, Facebook, branched out to Instagram more recently.
Danny F. Quest all over the place, huh?
Yeah, minds.com. I mean, it should be pretty accessible. Facebook / Danny F. Quest. That's where I kind of cut my teeth. That's where most of my work is, but again, as if you're a follower of the Conscious Resistance Network, if you've been with us for a while, it's time that we get away from these mainstream social media platforms and start building alternatives and working with alternatives. So you never know where you'll find me, my guy, but I'm going to be here. This fight is far from over. The passion that I have to bring people truth and reliable information is still burning a hole in my heart. And I appreciate you bringing me on, man. You've always been a great friend and an ally, and I love what you do. And we're going to make the world a better place always.
Appreciate it, brother. I'm going to show two more articles while I got you. Just, I forgot to mention these. Like this one just, you know, came out, which again, to me is inconsequential, but maybe just a funny aspect of this. Nancy Pelosi's laptop's missing from her office. Who knows what they'll find in there. But this is the one I meant to show earlier on screen, that DC cops are now speaking out saying that there were cops among the rioters storming the Capitol and that they flashed their badges to get in. This is coming from the freethoughtproject.com. I just invite anybody to go check that out to, again, kind of further cement the idea that it wasn't just a psyop of a bunch of Antifa people who are doing this to blame Trump supporters. There were people who were voluntarily doing this. So I invite you to rewatch this interview. Danny provided some much needed perspective and truth on what he saw on the ground. And as usual, the truth is a little bit more, you know,
nuanced.
A little bit more nuanced than just black and white or just them or us. You know, we have to think past that. So thank you guys for listening today. And as always, remember, you are powerful. You are beautiful. You are free. Peace.
This is Derek Rose. This is Derek Rose of the Conscious Resistance. I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink.
Fucking hell!
Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important.